We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Learfield IMG College, this is Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics. Aggies All the Way is presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, welcome on into the Aggies All the Way podcast. I'm Jaden Johnson, and today I get a chat with a family that most Aggie fans, I think, should be well familiar with over the past couple of generations, and that's the Fransons. Eric Franson was a center on the Utah State basketball team back in the mid-90s. He was the 94-95 Big West Player of the Year, and he's one of the most recent inductees into the Utah State Athletics Hall of Fame. Jenny was around that same time, and she was a heptathlete on the track and field team and still holds many top 10 marks in Utah State history books. And then Taylor is a forward on the women's basketball team who started 20 games last season, and she's getting ready for her junior season under a brand new coaching staff. So it's clearly a pretty impressive family, a lot of Utah State blood in this conversation. And I've had Taylor on the podcast before, but I'm excited to get to talk to you all together. So how are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Good. Yeah.
Just trying to survive this madness.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. I know, especially for Taylor, being in the off season of basketball season. I can't imagine that's been easy. But is there anything I missed in those introductions? I don't want to sell any of you guys short.
No, that's perfect. Perfect. Love Utah State. And yeah. Always have and always will.
So just to start, I know that a lot of Aggie fans remember you, Eric and Jenny, but it seems like a lot of times student-athletes graduate, they move on, and it's kind of easy to lose track of them. So just can you guys fill us in on what you've been up to, where you're living, what you're doing for work? Just tell us about your family, all that kind of stuff.
Well, we're currently living in American Fork, Utah. I went to high school at American Fork High School, so we're kind of back where I went to high school. And I am working as a civil engineer in a private consulting firm, and Jenny is working as a fitness nutrition coach, trying to keep people healthy and happy. So that's the basics, I guess.
And you guys have two children, correct?
Yeah, Taylor, who's up at Utah State, and then we have a son, Hayden, who currently is in Portland, Maine, serving a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And he was in Tahiti. He got sent back to us because of the whole coronavirus situation. He's been reassigned to the Manchester, New Hampshire mission. So he's out there right now.
Well, that's quite a change from Tahiti to Maine.
Yes.
And I understand he's a basketball player as well.
Yes. Yeah. He, one thing I love to tell people that will listen is both of my kids ended up winning the state championship. Taylor won the high school girls state championship in 2017, and Hayden won in 2019. So pretty cool thing to have both your kids win a state title.
So what happens when you guys get on the court out in the driveway?
Yeah. I don't do that anymore. I'm kind of, no. Every once in a while, we'll shoot some hoops, and they make me work hard. I'm still fairly active, so I don't let them win, that's for sure.
Does that get pretty competitive?
It can. It can. My son ended up getting injured during one of our one-on-one sessions, and we haven't played since. So... I don't know when we'll play again. I have a hard time letting anyone win at anything. And so, yeah, we've had good times.
Taylor, he never lets you win?
No, neither one of them do. The last time I played Hayden, I was the one who got hurt. So I tend to try to just avoid those situations.
Yeah, we'll tell Coach R not to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, she doesn't need to worry about that. No, it was just a bloody nap. And that was about it. So
I know that, you know, it's not super uncommon for Utah State student athletes to date or to get married. And it's not super uncommon to see the child of a former athlete come through and put on the Utah State uniform. But it is kind of uncommon to have the combination of both of those and have a multi-generational Utah State family where, you know, a couple Aggies get married, then they bring another Aggie along. And what's it been like for you guys to be able to watch Taylor put on the Utah State uniform and represent Utah State?
Jenny, what's it been like?
I think it's been pretty cool. You know, I grew up in Logan, so I was an Aggie from birth. Both of my parents went to Utah State. My dad actually was on the track team at Utah State as well. So he threw the javelin.
You said your father was?
Yeah.
So a third generation Utah State athletics family. That's incredible.
Yep. So it was cool for me to go up there and be on the track team, having had him been on the track team. And then obviously Eric and I met through the athletic department. And of course we've raised both of our kids to be Aggies their whole life. You know, taking them to different sporting events and, you know, I guess to have, you know, at least her at this point go there. I don't know that we could be more proud to be an Aggie and to have an Aggie family. So
Taylor, I know you had a really good college or high school career at American Fork. Your dad was just talking about you won a state championship. I'm sure you probably had, you know, a few options for college. Was it always Utah State all along for you? I mean, is this always where you wanted to go?
Yeah, I actually have told the story, but I was in the gym the night that JC Carroll broke the scoring record, and I was like maybe 11 years old, and I was like, "This is it! Like, I want to be here." I got to cut in.
I've never heard a louder arena in my entire life.
No, it was amazing. It was just absolutely phenomenal to be in the gym that night, and so I knew, at very very young, that I wanted to be an Aggie, and they were one of my first offers, and it was kind of like, What am I waiting around for? And so I committed pretty early and didn't ever look back after that.
And you were the number 42. I know that's the same number your dad wore. Was that something someone suggested, or was it your idea? How did that kind of come along?
It was definitely my idea. When I came on the team as a freshman, they didn't have a 42 available for me in my size. So when we got the chance to get new jerseys, I asked to switch just to wear the same number as him and represent.
That's very cool. It's always been kind of cool to watch that. And I know that that's why you do it. So it's been cool to see. So, Eric, you were one of six inductees to the Utah State Hall of Fame just this past year, 2019 Hall of Fame class. That was along with Donald Penn, Kendall Youngblood, Kevin Robinson, Zuzana Sarayanska, and Russ Paulson. That's a solid group, and obviously, you know, a huge honor to be brought into the Hall of Fame. What's that been like for you, and how did you find out about that, and what was your reaction?
Yeah, I was on my way to a Jazz game and received a phone call from John Hartwell, and he told me the news, and I was surprised. I was happy, elated that, you know, it's been a while since I left campus back in 96, and you know, I knew I had done good things and had great teammates and had a lot of success there at Utah State, but it's not something that you really think about or dwell on very much. And so it was kind of a surprise. And, you know, it's nice to be recognized for all the time and effort and hard work that you put in and contributed to the university. And, I can't wait to actually be able to have the ceremony. You know, this whole coronavirus situation kind of put that on hold. But Kendall Youngblood, who's also going in, was a teammate of mine my freshman year. And I learned a lot from him. And I couldn't be happier to be able to go in with him and kind of represent that period of time, you know, where a little bit of a transition to get to Stu Morrill. And everybody knows what happens when Stu got here and all the great players that have come along since.
Now, you said it was a surprise. Was it, I mean, had you ever even thought about that? Had it ever crossed your mind at all that that was a possibility?
Well, every year, I guess I've, you know, I get emails and I get the notifications of who has been put in the Hall of Fame. And so, you know, once a year I'd read that list and go, man, those guys were pretty good, you know, and, I remember watching him or, you know, those types of things, but really didn't contemplate that for me. You know, when they did the all-century team back, I don't even know when that was now. It seems like it was yesterday, but I know it's been a long time. But, you know, I was lucky enough to be a part of that process. And I thought, this is pretty cool, you know, if I'm recognized as kind of one of the top 15 to 20 players or whatever in Utah State history, that was pretty cool, and I was happy about that. And then, you know, here comes the phone call, and it's kind of like, man, they can't ever take this away from me.
That's awesome. That's very cool. I mean, yeah, you're right. It's one of those things that it's in the books. It's there for the rest of Utah State history, and they can't take it away. So even with a Hall of Fame career, you know, you were the Big West Player of the Year. You were on the All-Big West team multiple times. Taylor still tells me that Jenny was the true athlete of the family. is that true?
Yeah, she is. you know, basketball requires a certain skill set, certain genetic capabilities. You know, being 6'8" doesn't hurt. And I was definitely blessed with some athleticism and some talent. But if you want to talk about pure athleticism and physical ability, talk about the heptathlon. You know, you're talking seven events, throwing, running, jumping, all of it. And if I remember correctly, which I think I do, Jenny took second in the conference championship meet as a sophomore. And I believe that's one of the scores that still stands in the top 10 at Utah State. And, you know, she was unbelievable. And at that point, I was leaving to go to Europe, you know, to play basketball and to continue my career. And, you know, we went together. And what could she have accomplished had she stayed for two more years and finished out her career at Utah State? You know, so she was and is the best athlete in the family. And I'm not going to argue that.
So Jenny, I mean, I don't know if most people realize how difficult it is to be a heptathlete because, you know, at the college and the professional level of track and field, so many athletes, you know, they work at one or two specific things through their entire life to master those skills. And to do that with seven events, that's just it's a totally different animal. Was that something that, I mean, did you always want to do the heptathlon, or did you just start with a few events and that's kind of what it became? And what was your experience like at Utah State doing that?
I think as Coach Curtis recruited me out of high school, I think he, from the beginning, told me he wanted me to do the heptathlon. And I have always been the type of person that maybe I wasn't a master of one, but decent. What is that phrase?
Jack of all trades.
No, you're decent at a lot of things, but not really good at one thing.
Right. Okay.
And so I think that fit in well with the heptathlon, where I was a decent enough athlete that I could pick up on events that I hadn't really had much experience in. In fact, I didn't even start running track until I was a junior in high school. So yeah, and I think it was my first track meet that I went and ran in. I beat the high school record in the long jump on my first jump. And I had never practiced it. I just went out and said, hey, go try that. And I went and did it. And, you know, so I think that there was just things that, yeah, I was decent at enough events that why not throw in. And my worst events were definitely the throwing events. I was weaker at those, but I was still strong enough that I could do fairly well. So yeah, it was a lot to do, and there was some events that I was better at than others, but I enjoyed having the variety to kind of focus on, and I think it played well to my capacities. So
well, and you mentioned that your dad was a student athlete at Utah State as well, so you kind of know what it's like to be in Taylor's shoes. Right. Were you able to learn a lot from him, and was his experience able to help you as a student athlete, especially in those throwing events?
Definitely in the javelin, because that's what he did, was a javelin, and, mm-hmm. and he worked with me a little bit, not a ton. He's not super hands-on with that kind of stuff, but he definitely did give me some pointers on technique and that kind of thing. So it was good to have that to refer to. And it was just cool to know that he had been there in the same place that I had been in.
And you were able to transition that into a career in fitness, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you ever work with track and field athletes now, or is it other types of fitness?
All types. Yep. I work a lot with, more like strength and conditioning kind of stuff.
Okay.
But I have definitely worked with triathletes, swimmers, you know, runners, that kind of thing. So it's nice to have kind of a background to pull from when working with athletes. Yeah.
So how did you two meet? And I mean, I know, again, a lot of Utah State student athletes, and really student athletes everywhere, date and then a lot of times get married. And what was you guys' story?
I'll let Eric tell this one.
How long do we have?
As long as you want.
No, I'll tell the basics. At the beginning of fall semester, they have all of the fall and winter student athletes gather up for physicals and, you know, basically checking in and going through the process, making sure everybody's healthy. So they scheduled this night of physicals for all the athletes, and we were both there. I saw her kind of across the parking lot. I didn't know who she was. We didn't talk at that point, but I saw her again at the Halloween Howl. And actually asked somebody to go find out her name.
That's where all Utah State love stories start, right?
I know,
every
right?
Every single one.
So I had somebody go find out her name. I knew she was on the track team. And so I found out her name and looked up her phone number in the school's computer and called her out of the blue and said, "Hey, you don't know me, but
I'm Eric Frampton and I'm on the basketball team."
Hey, hey. No, that's not what I said.
That's why she let you tell the story.
So I called her up and we talked, and I think the first time I called her on the phone, we talked for an hour and a half or so. Just you know, had a lot in common, and then it was not all smooth sailing, but the end result is here we are with our 25-year anniversary coming up in a month or so.
Oh, congratulations. That's awesome. A true Utah State love story. That's awesome. So moving on to Taylor, you know, it's been a pretty wild off season for the Utah State women's basketball team, an entire coaching staff change, lot of change in the build of the team. You know, you guys are bringing in not only, I think, five new freshmen, but also a bunch of transfer players. It seems like, I don't know, 30% of the team is left from last year. I don't know what the actual number is, but have you been able to spend much time with Coach Ard and the staff and your new teammates?
So we're actually still in quarantine from each other. They asked us to come to campus and quarantine for 2 weeks before we could begin workouts. So we have not been able to work out as a team yet. We are all in town, and so we're kind of around each other, and girls who live together are allowed to hang out. And we have met the coaching staff, obviously, from safe distances and stuff like that. But we're just kind of gearing up, trying to quarantine and hunker down until the 20th of July, when the NCAA has allowed teams to start practicing together. So we have met a little bit, but unfortunately, due to current circumstances, we haven't been able to have the time together that we normally would have had at this point. So I definitely know me and the girls and the coaches are really excited for that start date from the NCAA.
So what's it been like for you personally navigating this off season where you're not always in Utah State facilities and not always working directly with your coaches? I mean, I'm sure having a mom that works in fitness helps.
Yes.
So how have you been able to stay in playing shape and keep ready for the season?
I guess I don't want to. Corona has been very, very difficult, obviously, for a lot of people, but I would say one of at least the off spins or positive spins that I've had for it is I had just a lot of free time and a lot of time to be in the gym. My brother was home obviously for that period, and we went and shot every single day together, and he really, really was able to push me, and I was able to improve thanks to him. And just with the free time, I was just able to spend a lot of time in the gym. So I've been very fortunate to have been able to make some actually really big progress this off season, just due to having the time to really focus on just pure basketball and pure weightlifting and conditioning and all that. So if there's one positive thing for me that came out of this, it was definitely that, and the ability to make a ton of progress.
Sure. Well, and you're going into your junior season, but with a redshirt year. You've been around 3 years, and it's really just you and Emmy Harris who have been around for that long. So it seems almost crazy, but you're one of the veterans on this team. Is that a little bit of a weird feeling for you?
It's very weird, especially coming from where I didn't play my freshman year and then I redshirted. And then all of a sudden I, you know, started 20 games and I had this big transition. And then all of a sudden it was like every single girl that was older than us or was around us was, you know, either graduated or no longer a part of the team. And so all of a sudden it's just like me and Emmy are kind of left to be the only really returners on the team who have that experience. And it's been awesome to kind of have that coming of age moment where you get to step up and be a leader and hopefully take some of the younger girls under your wing when you get the chance. And I'm really excited to actually get to practices and be able to, you know, hopefully be a positive mentor and a positive role model for the younger girls on my team and help them come into Division I athletics and understand how it works and hopefully be a good example for them and use, you know, my career to help them.
So your dad was a center and you're a forward who plays a lot in the post. Are there any, this is to both of you, are there any similarities in you guys' games?
I feel like he probably wishes there were more similarities.
Oh, come on.
I would say we rebound pretty similarly. I definitely think that I take after him when it comes to rebounding and that kind of aspect. And then the competitiveness and the ability to push myself and work hard. I definitely get from both of them.
I would say like your court smarts. You both have pretty intelligent or high IQ, I guess, with basketball.
Well, that's a very nice thing to say.
I think that's definitely the strength that you both have.
Yeah, I would actually agree with that.
If there's one thing that I've tried to teach my kids is you can't control everything, but you can control how hard you go, and you can control listening to your coach and doing what they ask. And that's one thing I try to do all the time is go hard and listen to my coach. And if you do that, then you gain respect, you gain trust, and that translates into success. And so I've been proud of my kids as they have tried to listen to that advice. They go hard and they listen to their coaches. And I think that's one thing I'm proud of Taylor is she has, you know, played at Utah State. You know, she's going to go as hard as she can, and whatever the coach asks of her, she'll get it done. So, and I like to think I did that too back in the day.
So is your son a post player as well?
He's more of a 3-4.
Okay.
I think he's going to be a mismatch problem for a lot of people in college. He can post and he's got some pretty good post moves, but he can also hit the three and get outside and make shots. So he's kind of going to be a 3-4 depending on the matchup, whether he's going to play outside or inside. We'll see what happens when he gets done with the mission and where he ends up.
So Taylor, I know it feels like a long ways away, but the season's, you know, only a few months, assuming everything gets started on time and happens how we're hoping it does. What are you looking forward to the most?
Oh, I just think proving people wrong. Our theme, obviously, if people have followed us on social media, is something to prove. And I think that, you know, the girls on our team are really taking that to heart. And we haven't been the most successful while I've been here. We had, you know, a really rough year my freshman year and then bounced back a little bit and then took some steps back. And I definitely think that as a team, we want to show people what, you know, the women's basketball team here is made of. And I'm excited to get the chance to do that and to, you know, do those things for our new coaching staff and for Aggie Nation. I'm looking forward to proving everybody wrong about us and so far. So that'll be really exciting for us.
Well, I was able to do a Zoom interview with Coach Art and the whole staff a few months ago, and I was just so impressed by them from my first impression. What have your impressions been?
Oh my gosh, so impressive. Every single one of them has, you know, awesome careers themselves in basketball and awesome careers in coaching so far. And one of the best things about this new coaching staff for us girls is we can tell how much they want it and how bought in they are to coming in. And, you know, Coach K does not want this to be a building year. She doesn't want her first year to just be a, you know, let's build, let's teach girls, let's whatever. If we have a bad year, that's fine. She wants to win games this year. She wants to cut nets this year. And that's awesome as a player to have your entire coaching staff, especially your head coach, just really bought into the program already. And it's inspiring. I mean, you want to play for coaches like that always. And so the fact that we get that opportunity is awesome.
Well, it's a young staff that seems to have a lot of motivation. So I'm looking forward to the season, looking forward to seeing you play, looking forward to the eventual 2019 Hall of Fame introduction, whenever that may be.
Okay.
And looking forward to seeing all three of you in the stands at this, well, in the Spectrum, you two in the stands, of course, hopefully this winter. But thank you guys for taking some time. You know, you guys are such a huge part of Utah State history, the last couple of generations of Utah State history. And, you know, I appreciate you guys taking a little bit of time to sit down and chat with me.
You're welcome.
Thank
Our
you
pleasure.
For having us.
All right. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Okay. Love you.
This has been Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics, presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. The proceeding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Aggie Sports Network.